I just want to draw your attention one more time to John 9:35. It says there, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said to the blind man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. My prayer and my belief and faith is that you have, in fact, seen him this weekend, you young people, and that in our times of worship that you have fallen down and worshipped him. And now, for those of you who are going home, I believe Brother Matt encouraged us last night that I hope that you go to church every Sunday. I hope that you are in as many meetings as you possibly can be, where people of like precious faith gather together and you can worship together corporately. Could you worship God at home? You could. Are you likely to? Let me put it this way. You're probably more likely to worship God at church. And so get to the house of God as frequently as you can as you go home. But also, Brother Matt mentioned, if you're not falling down at his feet and worshiping him on your own, in your own personal time of devotion, that is perhaps a piece that's missing in your walk with the Lord. And I would just encourage you, you know, just something very basic that we teach our Sunday school kids, right? When they're very little, read your Bible and pray every day. You know, it sounds so basic, but how many of us actually do that? And if you came into this weekend feeling dry, feeling disconnected, perhaps, and you're not doing that, I could pretty quickly point to that as being a reason why. John 15:5 says that I'm the vine, you are the branches. Let's turn there. Let me make sure I don't mess it up. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Have you been trying to live your Christian life apart from him? And if you have, maybe that's why it's been so difficult. If you have, maybe that's why it's felt so dry. And then when you come up to camp on a weekend like this and the presence of God is here, you know, even this morning as we were worshiping, I was just thinking that, man, it's the presence of God that makes it good, right? It's the presence of God that makes our times here sweet. And even though we just have a couple minutes here, I'm just so thankful to have the presence of God here right now, this morning. And it's the presence of God that will make it good in your life when you go home. It is being attached to the vine that will allow you to do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you've laid something down at the altar of sacrifice this weekend, it is the presence of God. It's staying connected to the vine that will allow you, through the Holy Spirit, enable you to keep that, to not climb back up on the altar and snatch that thing back off. And so I just want to encourage you for that, for all of you who are going home. We'll be praying for you, those who are on staff this coming period, that God would work in you, through you, from the counselors all the way down to the dish boys. God can work through you this weekend. Did you know that, doing dishes? I was a dish boy. You know, The fastest dishes you've ever seen going through. Some would dispute the quality. I think we did a pretty good job, but God can work through you as you're here, even on dishes, on ground, certainly, counseling. So we're praying for you and that God would continue to work, continue to push forward. I'm so thankful for all the youth leaders who came and who give of their time and efforts and energies. You know, many have have other responsibilities and families and all sorts of things that they need to be taken care of. But they come and they give the time, their efforts for you, for the Lord. Certainly most thankful for the Lord for again, His presence, that He's been here with us. We measure success by His presence and His causing His face to shine upon us. And I believe that He's been with us. So thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing number 186. Number 186 in our hymn books. This weekend go without giving an opportunity. If there are those who are here in this meeting that would like to potentially give a testimony about how the Lord worked in their life over the weekend, don't have to, but I think it's good. I think it's important to voice the experience that that we've had. I have a couple things that I want to share, so if nobody says anything, that's all right. I've got stuff to say. I'm not looking to kill time. But if somebody or some number of people want to give a testimony, now's your chance. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you did this weekend, Father. The way that you worked in hearts, we give you all the praise and all the honor, Lord. It's all for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're thankful that we don't have to rely, as we've said, on clever arguments or good reasons and rationale, but we can just rely on your Holy Spirit, and we do, Father, for all the work that's been done and for all the work that you are doing and going to do in these lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you continue to work and mold men and women who know you and love you and who want to serve you with their whole hearts. In your name we ask it, amen. There's a couple things I want to share with you. They're a little bit disjointed, so I apologize for that. But I was thinking about something that I wanted to leave with you this morning, and a couple of ideas or a couple of thoughts popped into my head. First one is something I like to say at the end of, I try to say it at the end of every retreat, and that is the following. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan, one of the things that they did was they built an altar, and they called that altar an Ebenezer. And what it was it was a memorial to God for what he had done in making the water stop so that the children of Israel could cross the sea. And the reason, the explanation that that was given was so that later generations, when they would look and they would see that pile of stones and ask what was the reason for that pile of stones being there, that the parents and maybe grandparents could say, we put that memorial up when God brought us into the land that he had for us. The water stopped. God did a miraculous thing. We crossed over, and these rocks here are a memorial to the fact that that happened. And I want to tell you this, leaving this weekend for the retreat. If God, and I pray that this is true for every one of you, it is true for me. If God has done a work in your heart, in your mind, changed your life, renewed you, put a desire in your heart, even a small one that's beginning to grow, I would encourage you to raise for yourself somewhere in some way in Ebenezer. Now, I don't know what that means for you. One of the traditional ways people do that is they write in their Bible. I remember the first time that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was right here in this room. And actually, the anniversary for that was this past Saturday. And I know that because I wrote that down in my Bible and I put it on my calendar. So every year it comes around, I remember that God did that for me the first time when I was 17 years old. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know how it is that you can memorialize what God has done for you, but I would encourage you to do that so that when you are tempted in the future to think that all of this was just an emotional experience, you can look back and say, no. I remember that this is how God spoke to me and this is what he did for me. So that's the first thing I want to leave with you. The second thing I want to leave with you is I want to go back to John 9 because, like I said, I just love this chapter. I think there's so much in here. A lot of times, the last talk before people go back from camp to the city or wherever they're going is always, oh, camp was so great, but now I'm going back to real life, right? Camp is like camp is fake life for some reason, right? I'm here at camp and I'm going back to real life, and I don't know if I can stand. I don't know if God can continue to do the work in me that he did in camp. And I just want you to notice something. We looked at this man who was blind and Jesus healed him and then he received his sight. Now when that happened, Brother Tim actually talked to us about the progression that he went on. He went from calling Jesus a man to a prophet and he moved on and on and on from there until finally he came to worship Jesus. But what was the scenario? What were the conditions that actually brought the man to that place? If you look over and over and over again, he is challenged about what happened. And not only is he challenged, sure, he's challenged by his neighbors, and maybe that way it wasn't quite so confrontational. But eventually he's in front of the Pharisees and he's in front of the Jews, and they're going after him. They are cross-examining him. And it's in that scenario, it's in that crucible, if you will, that the man gives the first glimpse of the fact that he knows that Jesus is someone special. And specifically, the verse, if I can find it, is the 27th verse. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them up to see what I'm saying here. The 27th verse of the 9th chapter of John says, this is the Jews, they were asking him again, how did this happen to you? And he answered them, and he said, I have told you already, and you didn't hear. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Now, if you look at the way that he said that, really what he was trying to say, or what he was essentially alluding to, was, why are you asking me this so many times? Do you want to be his disciples? Do you want to follow him? But what does the man slip in there? That word. What is that word?
Two.
Also. Or two. You see, that man's heart in the crucible of all of the conflict that was coming into his life actually pushed him towards Jesus. And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm going back home to a crucible. I'm going back home to a difficult situation. I'm around people who don't know the Lord. My schedule can get involved and that can pull me away. I want to tell you this. God can work at camp when there's rainbows all the time and we all float around 3 inches above the floor. Of course, no, that's not the way it happens, right? Or he can also work at home when we're back in our schedule and things are difficult and we've got the pressures on all these different sides. That's actually how this man came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God can work in every circumstance. And I don't want you to be discouraged just thinking that I'm leaving camp and it's kind of like the cocoon and that now God can't work anymore. No, he can and he will. He wants to work in your life. Remember that we are on the winning side and that ultimately at the end, not only can God overcome evil in your life, but in the end, God did overcome evil for you and for me on the cross. That's the second thing I want to leave with you. The third and final thing I want to leave with you is found in Psalm 139. Why don't you turn there real quick? Psalm 139. I love this psalm. Again, like John 9 and like a bunch of other chapters and verses in the Bible, it's so rich. There's just so much that you can get from this chapter in Psalms. But I just want to point your attention to the 17th and 18th verse. It says there, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now there's a lot of really, really good things there. And I'm not gonna talk about all of them because this is my third point and then I want to be done. But I do want to see this. At the end, the psalmist writes here, when I awake, I am still with you. I'm still with thee. Probably one of the biggest things that I need to make sure that I personally focus on is that in my personal devotions, I need to take time. I alluded to this last night when we spoke. I need to take time to meditate on God's word. I need to take time to think about God's word. We talked last night about if you see Jesus and it's not evoking any kind of response in you, it's not just that you're defective. It might just be that you need to think about it more. And the psalmist here is saying, you want to know what? When he wakes in the morning, he has that sense that God is with him. And I want to tell you this. I don't know what it is that stirs your emotions. I don't know what it is or what time of day it is that really gets you kind of thinking about the Lord. But you know what? Everybody's different. For some people, that's the first thing in the morning. They want to get up, have a good cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is. They want to open the Bible. Or maybe for some of you, you can't think that time in the morning. And so it's later on in the day that you need to spend some time talking to the Lord and reading your Bible. Whatever time it is, whenever it is, I would encourage you, spend time thinking about meditating on God's word and speaking to him in prayer. But for each and every one of you, that's going to be a specific and personal time where naturally you kind of at the peak of your focus and your ability to think about God. Spend those moments meditating on God's word, drawing close to him, worshiping him. Because all of us are naturally built for fellowship with God. The problem is that as the world comes in, as distractions come into our life, it's so easy for us to get distracted. You know, the enemy can come at us with very specific temptations and specific sins that pull us out of the way. But you want to know what happens? For most of us, that's not actually the thing. Let's be honest. For most of us, we're not going to come out of here and have some major temptation thrown at us. You know, if you sell your soul, I'll give you, you know, devil's not going to meet you on the way out and say, if you sell your soul, I'll give you $1 million. For most of us, that's not what's going to happen. For most of us, it's just going to be normal, boring life with all of its distractions coming in. And you're just going to find that it's not that you don't want to spend time with God. It's just that you're too busy. So I encourage you, find that time where you feel that God is near. I awake and you're still with me. Or whatever the time is. The psalmist found that time was a time that stirred his emotions. So I would encourage you, find that time. meditate on God's word. Think about God's word. Spend time talking to him about your day. Like the psalmist does. Complain about your day if you'd like. He wants to hear that. He gives you permission in the Psalms to complain about your day to him. But then always come back to realizing that ultimately, like Cammie said, he's in charge. He's in control. His plans are better than our plans. And he knows. And he loves us. I'd like if you would sing with me number 161. We have the promises of God. And we can stand on those promises because they're true. Because as Brother Isaac said on our first night, God is faithful to his promises. Number 161.
This is called, where are we? We're at Pilgrim Camp. Yeah, Tim, you remind me, Pilgrim Camp. He's got the sweatshirt. You can buy them in the boathouse. North Carolina shirts are good too, but they don't sell them in the boathouse. Pilgrim Camp. Now, where did Pilgrim Camp, why Pilgrim Camp? Is there anything that was based off of, or why the name Pilgrim Camp? It has something to do with Pilgrim's Progress, right? Did you ever read that book by Paul Bunyan's brother? John. John Bunyan, right? You read that book. It's an allegory. It's a good book. If you haven't read it, I'd suggest you read it. And in that book, you'll find there's a chapter there where this guy Christian, that was his name. Not you. Not John Christian, but just Christian. And he was on the way. Where was he going from? He came out of... Yeah, and he's on his way to where? Okay, you guys read it. That's good. You know it. He was on his way to the Celestial City. And on his way, he had some bumps in the road. You might have a bump in the road every now and again, too. And he had a big bump one day. And he went off into Bypath Meadow and thought he found a shortcut. There are no shortcuts. He thought he found one, though. And so he went off Bypath Meadow, and he was down sleeping under a tree somewhere. And you know who picked him up? You remember that? Okay, good. You guys, you just read it or do you just remember from... You read it, okay. Giant Despair. Giant Despair. That's a bad guy. He was a big guy. If you've ever seen the DVD, you'll see who what he even looks like. And if you read the book, you have to conjure it up in your own mind. Sometimes it's better just to read the book. But Giant Despair. And he took Christian and he threw him in this castle of despair, of doubt. I think it was called the Castle of Doubt. Am I right about that? Doubting Castle. Castle of Doubt. Same difference, right? Okay. He threw him in this place of doubt. That's a bad place to be, doubt. But you get there sometimes. And Christian, I mean, maybe this is an oxymoron. Christian is in a castle of doubt. You can't be in a castle of doubt if you're a Christian, can you? Yeah, you can, and he was. But he's sitting there in the castle, and the doors are all locked, and he's got no way to get out because he's a prisoner now. And then all of a sudden, he remembered something. He remembered something he had in his pocket. You remember what that was? A key of promise. He had a key of promise. Now, this isn't in John Bunyan's book or whatever his name was, but this is in the Bible. To us are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the castle of doubt, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've got some promises. You've got so many promises in this book, in the Bible, that have been given to you, to you. And maybe next to your Ebenezer, maybe you should write a promise. Maybe you should write a word of promise that you have, maybe that you're taking home from you from this weekend. This is what the Lord has done for me, not because I hope so, I think so, I say so, but because He has promised. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I mean, that's a wonderful promise. He has promised, and you can go on, and there are 3,000 some odd hundred of them. There are so many promises, and you'll need to pull them out. You'll need to remind yourself of them. You'll need to quote them, not to God, He knows them already, but to yourself, and stand upon the promises of God. And the enemy will come and accuse you, because that's his job. He's the accuser of the brethren. Oh, it was an emotional experience, and now you're back home. Get real. You can't live that kind of a life. You want to bet I can? I've got a promise. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the Father with exceeding joy. Unto him who's begun a good work in you, he's the author and the what of your faith? The finisher. The perfecter. Oh, thank God. And on and on and on. And just the names of Jesus, the names of God are promises. And they're wonderful. And we don't have any more time to talk about them, and so we won't. But I just thought I want to encourage you, standing on the promises of God. That's not shaky ground, that's solid ground. Those promises are sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. They are all of them, yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so I don't know what promise you need to take. I don't know what the Lord drops into your heart, but I think most of you know many of these promises of God. And Lord, I'm going to lay hold of that. I'm going to believe that promise. You said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. Standing on the promises of God. Well, just to finish the poor guy, we don't want to leave him in the castle of doubt with giant despair. He pulled out the key. You remember, I'm sitting here in this doubt, I'm sitting here in this castle, I'm sitting here in chains, and I don't need to be here because I have a key of promise. And he took that key of promise, and I don't know what door you're stuck in and behind, but that key is like that skeleton key that opens up every door. And that key of promise opened up that door, and he got out. And remember, the big guy was chasing him, if you saw the DVD. He was chasing him, but Christian got away and was on his way to Celestial City, back on the right road that leads to life. Oh, thank God for every promise in God's Word. Let's stand together and sing those last two verses. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God. My Savior standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Holding in
Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Stand, O Lord, on your word of promise. Hallelujah. 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 Dear Lord, we thank you for your promise. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just say thank you to you this morning for all that you have done. You're faithful to your word. You've promised as we draw nigh to you that you draw nigh to us. And you've been faithful. You've promised that as you send your word, it will accomplish the purpose that you sent it for. And you're faithful.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
You promised that where two or three gathered together in your name, that you'd be with them in the midst of them. And you're faithful.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and we could go on and just think of this weekend and the faithfulness of God in accordance with the promises of God. And Lord, as many leave today, we thank you that no matter where we are, you're with us. We could be in the middle of Babylon or in a lion's den, and you're there. Maybe in a furnace of fire, you're there. A castle of doubt, you're still there. We thank you for your promises to us.
That
you're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. We pray for every one of the young people that are here and that will be leaving this morning. We pray, Lord, that the things that you have wrought and done, that you'll just seal in their hearts.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Don't let one thing be snatched away.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
But, Lord, we pray that it will just be a base from which they can now grow.
Yes, Lord.
Grow further, grow more in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior. Lord, you've opened up our eyes. But, Lord, we want to see even better, and we can.
Yes.
You want to give us even a clearer vision than what we have now. It's better than when we came, but Lord, we want to see you. We want to behold the man of sorrows in plain view as the mighty conqueror, as the great I am. We want to see you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I have set the Lord always before me. Help us to do that, Lord, and especially these that will leave. Bless them. Keep them.
Yes,
continue to work in them. The things that they've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom they've learned them, Lord, we pray that they'll continue in those ways. We thank you for these young men and women that have ministered to them over these days. We thank you for Brother Tim. We thank you for Brother Tim. We thank you for Brother Isaac. We thank you for Brother Matthew, for Brother John. Lord, for Brother Andrew. Lord, we could go on. The ladies that are here that have laid hold and had faith over these young people, we thank you for every one of them and the heart they have. We pray that you'll richly, richly bless them, that you'll richly reward them. Lord, and that they, as they've given out, might also be those that receive the things that you've been doing over this weekend, that their eyes would be opened in a greater way than ever before. Lord, we pray that this day at camp, the guests that are here as we stay on, the staff that are here and others that will be coming, the counselors, throughout this day, Lord, it's a busy day of coming and going, and we just ask that your presence will be with us. We pray, Lord, that you'll get your will done in our lives. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your continued blessing will be throughout these coming days here at Pilgrim Camp, the bus as it comes tomorrow with the children, that you'll right from the beginning work in their lives and in their hearts. Lord, you've been good and you've done much, and we thank you for it. We look forward to your continued hand outstretched over us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Now, before we leave, I just have one announcement for those that are staying. God bless you as you leave, those that are staying, and especially those guests that are staying. I wouldn't have done this ordinarily, but it's not a very nice day outside. The day might get long this afternoon, and the venue may change. I have to speak to Brother Paul about this, but perhaps in the prayer room this afternoon, I'll have some DVD of some nature, and you'll probably be able to pick it. But I have something to show if you want to enjoy that together this afternoon, those of you guests that are on grounds that feel that would be time well spent. Could I say 2 o'clock this afternoon? That'll give you time for a nap afterwards if you want one. The Lord bless you. We're dismissed.